If you would turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And we use the King James Bible. If you don't have one, there should be one in the pews in front of you. And we're going to start at verse 20 and read to verse 28. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 20 through 28. And it reads, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto him, and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man," this is our key verse, verse 24, so I'll reiterate this part, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Okay. Today, let's talk about the ABCs of following Jesus. The ABCs of following Jesus. Y'all see these books? See these? Okay. I dare say that most of us had something similar to this when we first started going to school, public school, private school, or whatever. This is called the Happy Ending Book. Y'all remember that? That's going to come back. The Happy Ending Book. Tip Pew Joins In. Can y'all say that with me? Tip Pew Joins In. The Happy Ending Book. Tiggy and the Giant Wave. Say that. Tiggy and the Giant Wave. Amen. Now, to those of us who have gone to school, you look at it and say, why is he insulting my intelligence? I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm simply stating, and in order for you to get to where you're at now, in your business career, in your marriage, you started here with the ABCs. You started here with the fundamental stuff. And don't you think it's odd that some folks, 2 weeks after they get saved, they're preaching. And they say, I know the Lord, I know the Bible. And they skip the fundamentals. They skip the ABCs of following Jesus. And so I'm here today in the hopes and the desires to encourage everybody here, go back to the basics so you have something solid to build on. Go back to the ABCs of following Jesus. And when you go to Matthew chapter 16, go to verse 24. That's our key verse. In our key verse, right contained in this verse is the ABCs, the absolute foundational teaching of following Jesus. By the way, following Jesus is to be disciples of Christ. We want to emulate what Christ does. We want to be disciples. So here you're going to find the fundamentals, the ABCs of being a disciple, because this is not dealing with salvation. What we're talking about here today is not dealing with salvation. It's dealing with sanctification. That's called growing in the grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. That means being disciples. That means being able to go and show other people what the word is about and then encouraging other people to follow you as you follow Christ. So that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about like salvation. We're talking about sanctification, being separated from the world. That's what we're called for. So in verse 24, it reads, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if, there's that if, so that means you got a choice. You're already saved. You're already saved." He says, "But if any man will come after me, let him," again, there's another choice. You got the option. "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If and let. You have a choice. You can be saved, sanctified, set apart, on your way, got a home waiting for you in heaven, and be a lousy disciple. You can be. Now, God's going to judge at the end. He's not going to, your salvation is judged at the cross, but your sanctification, your work, what you do to glorify God gets judged, absolutely positively judged between now and when you get called home to glory. So, ABCs of following Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. A, B, C. Deny yourself. Take up your cross, not somebody else's cross, your cross, and follow me. You know, the Bible spends a great deal of time talking to us saved folks about walking right, representing Christ wherever we go, with our marriage, with our employment, even when we go to sporting events and everybody else is calling, "Kill him, kill him, kill him." We say, "Just hit him hard." That's the Christian way. But we have a different way. We are supposed to have a different way of looking at everything, y'all. And this is a tip from your Pastor Will. If you find yourself agreeing with most of the folks on TV in Hollywood on any issue, even something as simple as, "Man, that was funny." Because I remember what I used to think was funny. Just ask my kids about the classic. I rented a movie. I won't even tell y'all because I'm ashamed of it. But when I saw it, it cracked me up. I said, "Man, this movie is funny, 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 funny." And so my wife said, Will, don't go. I said, no, I gathered my kids. Come on, we're gonna watch a classic. It was Blazing Saddles. Okay. But when I saw it the first time, I thought, "This thing is funny." Oh, I loved every part of it. Cracked me. So I gathered my family around. And it had been years now since I had seen it, but I want my kids to enjoy it. We're having family night. We're going to watch Blazing Saddles. And my wife, "Will, this is not a good idea. You're just a stick in the mud. You don't know what funny is." Well, about 60 seconds into the movie, I start getting kind of squeamish. And, you know, by now I'm a deacon somewhere. You know, I'm ooh. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't see that." And so we get about 2 minutes into the movie, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't hear that." And we're about 15 minutes into the movie, and I'm fast forward. And my wife said, "Have you had enough?" So needless to say, family movie night was ruined. But I'm telling you, y'all, this sanctification thing, it ain't no joke. I loved Blazing Saddles. I thought it was the most highbrow comedy since the Three Stooges. I liked them too. But as the Lord works in your life, you're supposed to change. What you found love, what you found wonderful then should almost repulse you now. That's why I'm saying, if you're in agreement with most of the folks on TV or most of the movies that are out there, I'm just telling you straight up, you're going down the wrong path. You're going down the wrong path. So, the ABCs of following Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. We have an election coming up here this week. And y'all say, preacher, why are you always talking politics? I don't talk politics. I talk Bible. Talk Bible. And I will never tell you from this pulpit who you ought to vote for. But be on guard. I will always tell you what to vote for. Preacher, what? That's none of your business. Oh, yes, it is. See, because I'm held accountable for everything I teach you and everything I don't teach you. And I fear God more than I'm scared of any of y'all. Give me your hard looks. I'm okay. But there's going to be a day I'm going to have to stand in front of the Lord. He's going to say, why did you not tell them that was wrong? Why did you not tell them this is the path to take, not that path? And guess what? Guess what? You know who's going to be in line behind me? You. And God's going to be saying, why didn't you listen to this? Why didn't you act on that? And that's why the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians, he tells us some of us are going to suffer loss and some of us are going to get rewards. It ain't, the Bible ain't deep. Don't try to make it so, here's my brother. I called him up the other day because I wanted to pick a fight. Amen. Nothing like talking about Bible with Christians. My brother Christian, my brother saved. He's saved. But as soon as I said, bro, let's start with the Bible and let's stay with the Bible. You a Christian, you just as saved as I am. He's just as saved as I am. So if we're going to have a discussion, see, if I'm going to have a discussion with you, I have to have a standard. Most unbelievers, they don't ever want to give you a standard. The standard is how they feel, okay? If we're going to have a discussion, because my rule of law, my rule of faith is I start with the Bible and I stay with the Bible. And if you're a Christian, that's where you're supposed to be too. Sanctification will get us there. So we discussed some stuff, and bottom line is most Christian folks, when you start talking about the Bible, there's always a yeah, but. Yeah, but. I'm here to tell you, when you're standing in that line at the Bema Seat judgment of Jesus, and he's going to say, why did you promote this? I want to hear you say, yeah, but. Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand. The Bible was very complicated. Weren't you under Pastor Will? I just made him answer for telling you or not telling him. He said he told you. Is he lying? it's such a joy to study the Word and to see what it ain't deep. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got three things. You got ABCs. You got three things that you absolutely, positively must gotta do. Have to deny yourself. That's hard. And I want you to understand, if anybody tell you that they got the answer to that one, I got a bridge I want to sell you in Arizona. It's called the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah, if you buy that, I got another one for you too. Y'all, denying yourself is a lifetime challenge. Because I love me some me. I do. Gosh, every day he's chipping away. Settle down, man. Settle down. It's me you're following. Settle down. I got evidence it's working. I don't watch Blazing Saddles no more. Amen.
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, but hey, y'all give me some credit, okay? But he's working on me and he's working on you. And if you let him, because I told you, this says if. This is not mandatory. This is if. If you want, if you're going to follow me, then these are some things you're going to have to do, period. Non-negotiables. Start with deny yourself. Let's back up. We'll get down to that in a minute. Let's back on up, starting in verse 20. He says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Why at this point in his ministry, why at this point, I'm still in Matthew 16, that was 16:20. Why at this point in his ministry is Jesus telling people, don't tell anybody about me? I submit to you that it might have something to do, because I don't have a concrete answer on this part, it might have something to do with verse 15 of this same chapter, when he saith unto him, and it reads, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See, Jesus had done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, fixed the lame, gave hearing to those who couldn't hear, literally raised the dead. He had done all kinds of signs and wonders when he came to the Jewish people first. And then at a certain point in time, he says, look, y'all, wait a minute. Who do you say I am? First, Jesus said, who do the people say I am? And they said, oh, some say you're Elijah, some say this. Everybody got their opinion. Everybody's got their opinion. But Jesus said to them what he's saying to you. Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is, y'all? If you're a disciple, if you're following him, then you ought to say he's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we're supposed to say. But again, this is optional. So Jesus says, he says, so from this point on, in verse 20, I'm not going to try to make, you've seen enough, you've heard enough to make a decision. God don't play. Y'all act like y'all dealing with somebody on Sesame Street when you're talking to God. God ain't there. He's not a joke. He's not a joke. He's serious. And he's saying, who do you say I am? Verse 21, and from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In this text that we have here, we have three prophecies, y'all. Verse 21 is a prophecy. Verse 27 is a prophecy. Verse 28 is a prophecy. Verse 21 is a short-term prophecy. Verse 28 is a short-term prophecy. Verse 27 is a long-term prophecy. Why do the prophets in the Old Testament give you short-term and long-term prophecies? Because anybody could stand there and tell you 3,000 years from now, the earth is going to burn up. Well, who's going to be here to argue with them? Global warming, you're all going to burn up. It's going to take 3,000 years, though. Yeah, the Bible says that's a lie. So he gives you short-term prophecy and long-term prophecy. The short-term, so that if the short-term comes true, then you can base your faith and your belief for the long-term. On global warming, oh, by the way, since I'm well past 21, y'all need to understand we're supposed to already be underwater right now. According to the first time when I heard about climate change, global warming. We're supposed to be on fire. Millions of people are supposed to be starving to death. And all that is, church, all that is to get your mind off of this book. See, because if you start believing this book, you won't believe that hogwash. He says, he's got three prophecies, but here, verse 21, he says, from this time forth, that means there's a change. Jesus had been doing things a certain way, and in fact, I'll use the terminology, he had been preaching positive sermons. He had been telling people, he'd been healing the sick, he'd been
raising the dead. He'd been taking, you know, preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He'd been talking all these wonderful, wonderful things. But from this point forward, something changed. The message changed. And Jesus said, from this point forward, it's going to get rough. It's going to get ugly. And y'all got to make up your mind if you're going to follow me. You got to make up your mind if you're going to follow me close, or you got to make up your mind if you're going to follow me from a distance. But you got to make up your mind if you're going to follow me, if you plan on being my disciple. Because Jesus said, starting right here, right now, things are going to change. He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in the news not too long ago, back in April and May. People were trying to decide who Jerusalem belonged to. Back in the day. Or was that my imagination? Come on, preacher, stop messing with me. I can't help myself. Let's see. Who does Jerusalem belong to? Oh, me thinks it belongs to the Jews. Right here. But then that's because I'm one of those people who actually believe the Bible. Jerusalem belongs to Israel. Jerusalem has always been, for the last 3,000 years, the capital of Jerusalem. Everybody quiet. There he go talking politics again. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I'm asking you to come along with me and join in and let God take you away from Blazing Saddles to loving Jesus. He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And when I get there, I'm going to have a confrontation. Well, Jesus, if you're going to have a confrontation, why are you going there? That's a reasonable question. He said, because these are the things of God. And he said, understand, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I don't think like you. I don't do like you. What I'm trying to do is get you to think like me. Therefore, we have the mind of Christ. So let us exercise that mind of Christ. That's what we need to be doing. Instead of trying, but look what happens when Jesus says that. When Jesus says, he says, I'm going to go. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And I'm going to have a confrontation with the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And they're going to kill me. And then I'm going to be raised again the third day. He said, they're going to kill me, y'all. Well, back up to the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, if there's any other way, he said, let this cup pass from me. Jesus knew exactly where he was headed. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he knew exactly how it was going to happen. And he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And then ultimately, what he said was, not my will, but your will be done. Church, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be some bitter cups. If we're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be some things where we have to say, yeah, but this hurts my feelings. This goes against my grain. But at some point, you're going to have to say, not my will, but your will be done. But look at what Peter did. Peter had a natural human response. In fact, the word speaks, the way it's written, it's like a reflex. It's like a reflex response. You know, back before you got saved, somebody slapped you, you slap them back. Reflex. Now you pray for them and then slap them back. No. I'm a bad preacher. Amen. Anyhow. But it was a reflex. Peter grabbed. Wrap your mind around this. Peter grabbed Jesus.
And you will hear two, in these next couple verses, you'll hear two of the strongest rebukes in Scripture. Peter grabbed Jesus. He snatched him. And he said, "No, Lord." I think that's called an oxymoron. "No, Lord." No, Lord? You're going to tell the Lord what to do? You're going to say, "No, Lord"? See, this is why I'm telling you. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. You have a choice. Are you and I going to follow Jesus? Yes or no? Make up your mind. Peter snatched him. And I think Peter had good intent, y'all. He's like, "Wait a minute. I love Jesus. I love him. And I don't want him to go and get beat and suffer, because I know what this crucifixion thing is." It was very common in that day. They knew what a cross was. They knew what crucifixion was. And he said, "Lord, no." He goes, "Lord, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." And another way of saying that is, "God forbid." No, you can't do that. We need you. And besides that, we don't want to suffer. And if you're going, they're going to get us. We need you, Jesus. We need you. What's wrong with that? That's a normal human response. But I told you in Isaiah, the Bible says, "I don't think like you think. I don't do like you do." That's why I have to write the Bible. Get this. God did not write the Bible for him. He wrote it for us. We need instructions. We need to know how to change. When he goes, "Renew your mind." He goes, "Stop thinking about, get your mind out of there and get your mind up here. Renew your mind. Deny yourself." The first step of following Jesus is deny yourself. Then Peter took him and rebuked him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And then Jesus said, Jesus turned in verse 23, and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Peter." Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan, the meaning adversary. What Peter had done in that instance, when Jesus said, "This is what I am going to do. I, the Lord, this is what I am going to do." Peter stepped up and says, "No, you won't." So instantly, Peter made himself an adversary of Jesus Christ. And God says that you and I, in the book of James, he says, you and I have the ability. He says, "Woe to you. Woe to you." He said, when you start agreeing with the world, he said, you have just made yourself an enemy of God. That's not Pastor Will's words, y'all. That's the book. That's the book. And God says, woe to you when you make yourself an enemy of God by the willful rejection of my truths. I heard a preacher the other day. I started to run out the church. It scared me so bad. He was talking. When he got up to his greeting, he said, "Greetings to friends, family, and husbands and wives and significant others." I said, "What the devil? You up in the pulpit talking about significant others? You up in the pulpit talking about shacking, trying to give it legitimacy? Significant others? Oh, Lord, let me run for cover." But when the church takes on the terminology of the world, and when you take on the mindset of the world, and if you never make a choice to start following Jesus and deny yourself, that's what you fall into. And you know how I know they fell into it? Because everybody said amen. I was aghast. Am I some kind of legalistic? No. I just have made this. I think I was a little boy. I didn't do it when I was a little boy, but I learned the song when I was a little boy. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
That ain't deep. That's a children's song. Why do we complicate the Bible so much? Because I don't want to do it. That's why I was watching that show. Because I didn't want to do it. I learned it as a kid. I learned the truth as a kid. I had good teaching. But I had never desired to deny myself. My joy is I get to encourage everybody here. As I mature, I want us to mature together as a church. I want us to purpose in our heart to follow Jesus. And it starts with denying yourself. Jesus says, you're an offense to me. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Jesus told Peter, get behind me. He says, Satan, get behind me. When I talk about deny yourself, the word is very intense. It's like this, the word is called vociferous. I think everybody's aware of the account of Peter when the young girl accused him of being a Galilean. You know, when they had captured Jesus and they took him away and they were going to crucify him. And Peter was standing afar off with the people of the world. He was trying to get warm, and he was hanging out with the people of the world. And when they spotted him, and they said, wait a minute. And this, don't forget, now they got Jesus. They got the leader. They did just what Jesus said was in his short-term prophecy. And they said, wait a minute. I recognize him. He's one of them. He's one of them. I know he is. And Peter, first time he said, y'all mistaken. No, we recognize you. You're a Galilean. We know you. We know. And then that's when Peter went to what you call vociferously denying Christ. He said, no, I'm not him. It's a case of mistaken identity. Yeah, I'm not the man. I'm not the man. So a little bit of time goes by, and then they said, that little girl said, you know what? Now here's this big old fisherman, big old bad joker. Peter, bad joker, y'all. Don't sell Peter short. Peter was a man. He was man. But this woman, she said, he's the man. And man, he let it rip. That's when everybody found out he was a sailor. He just let it rip. He said, I don't know this man. I've never known this man. I can't stand this man. See, and I can relate. I can relate to what Peter did, y'all. Because before I decided, now I'm not talking about when I got saved. I was just trying not to go to hell. But when I finally decided to follow Jesus, I remember being put to the test, y'all. And I remember flunking the test. I remember still going to the club. Still going to the club trying to blend in. Still going to the family reunions trying to keep my mouth shut. And you know, and you might not openly protest what somebody is saying, but you don't stand up for your Jesus. And it makes you sick to your stomach that you weren't man enough or woman enough to speak up for Jesus. That's where Peter was at. He denied Jesus. He didn't deny himself. Church, if we're going to follow Jesus, first rule, you got to deny yourself. Just as vehemently as he denied Jesus, we have to be that way with our own personalities. You know that? Because Jesus can save us from sin. But only we can pick up our cross and live away from sin, die to sin. We have to die to sin. And Jesus said to him, Jesus says, Peter, you don't savor us the things
of God. He says, Peter. Notice he didn't say, Peter, you don't know the things of God. He didn't say that. Because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he leads us into all truth. So you know. You know and I know. When I'm telling you, when you go to that voting poll, you know what's right. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. But some things are offense to me. Hey, is it an offense? What's an offense to Jesus? Deny yourself. What's an offense to Jesus? Because Jesus is already taking care. He promised to take care of everything we need, y'all. Everything we need. And that's something that we really don't. I just want the church. When he says you're an offense, you're a stumbling block. The Bible says when he says an offense, back in the day, they used to make a trap for rabbits and small game. And what they would do is they'd get like a box or something similar to a box, and they would put a stick there on the box. The box, then you've seen it on cartoons and stuff. And somebody would have a string on the stick, and they'd stay off to the side, and they'd wait because they put some bait inside the box. And that's what, by the way, y'all, that's what the devil does with us. He gives us bait. And boy, does he make it look just the way you like it to look. Ooh, boy. For us men, I'm just talking for the men now. Just talking for the men. She got two legs. Woo! We're off to a good start. Bait. Look at that t-shirt she got on. Got a T on the back. Say trouble. Amen. Bait. And he said, Satan, you that string, they wait for the little animal to go in, and then they pull the string and the box goes down. That's what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, that's what you are. You're a snare to me. You are trying to trip me up and trick me into not doing what I am called to do. Y'all, if Jesus is being tempted with bait, don't you think for one minute, we got young couple over here, you would think that they'd be able to go to a mature couple and ask for some wisdom, and instead of getting some old fool talking about, well, child, you know, it's always so hard. Marriage ain't that hard, y'all. If you decide to act right. That's what's hard about it. It's like controversial subjects. Ain't nothing controversial unless I disagree with it. Then it's controversial. But you know better. I'm not teaching you. I'm not telling you anything that the Holy Spirit has not already put in you. I'm not telling you anything that the Holy Spirit has not already put into you. Somebody needs to go to this young couple and say, you know what? God says marriage is a good thing. God says children are a good thing. What a testimony. What a testimony. Deny yourself. Lift up Jesus if you're going to follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. When he says to Peter, he says, Peter, I just got to hang here for a little bit longer. He says, Peter, you don't savor us, not the things of God, but those things of man. He said, when he says you don't savor us those things, he's setting up a, the word is antithesis. I like those words. He said antithesis. That's a compound word for anti and thesis. Antithesis. Your thesis is your statement of what you believe and why you believe, et cetera, et cetera. Anti is something against your statement. Jesus is saying to Peter, your ways and God's ways are antithetical to each other. Now, that's the good news. Here's something else for you. God's not going to change. Amen. So if your views or my views don't line up with God's views, guess what? Who's got to change? God is not going to change. So that's why you see this forceful statement. Jesus speaking to Peter, and he's saying, Peter, Satan, you're using the spirit of Satan. You have turned yourself into my adversary, and now I get behind me and follow me. Don't get in front of me. Don't get beside me. Get behind me and follow me. He goes, you savor us not the things that be of God,
but those that be of man. He said, Peter, you look at man's stuff and you've lifted it up here and you've taken God's stuff and you put it down here. I'm talking about when you go to vote on Tuesday. Or if you've already gone, I want you to go tell somebody. You know what? In our nation, when you're talking to saved people and you're talking about life, abortion, and life, when you're talking to saved people, it's amazing how many answers you get and how much yeah, but you get when God clearly has spoken. And he said, a nation that does that will not go unjudged. A nation that murders their own children will not go unjudged, y'all. Yeah, but. No, yeah, but. No, yeah, but. And God is saying, you are in a nation right now where your nation is at a crossroads. It's at a crossroads. We are truly at a crossroads, y'all. You got three major issues, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, not Pastor Will. According to the Bible, you have a nation that lawfully kills their own children. A nation that willfully promotes homosexuality. And a nation that to their own hurt, woefully rejects Israel. I'm not speaking to anybody but y'all sitting in here and anybody who might happen to pick up this tape, this CD. God's going to hold us accountable. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I want it to go on record. You support homosexuality, you promote abortion, you turn your back on Israel, you just signed a death warrant for your nation. And I want you to sign your name big and bold. Big and bold. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I pray that y'all would do the same. Because church, the things of God, the things that God says are important to him, when God says Israel is the apple of my eye, I can't really put that all together. Except for I know that when I was brought up, the things I heard about Jewish people was really not that, what's the word? What's the word when they say, I know derogatory is, what's the opposite of that? What's the, complimentary. The things I heard about Jewish people, it was not complimentary, y'all. And I didn't even know what a Jewish person looked like. I didn't. By the way, it's the same folks who are in Israel today. Don't let anybody fool you, tell you, oh, no, they're not the Jews. They are the Jews. They are the Jews. And I, you know, they are the apple of God's eye. And God said, whoa, y'all hear me? Whoa to anybody who divides their land. Now, for those of us past 21, how long have we heard people talking about we need to divide Israel? We need to figure out who owns Jerusalem. Raise your hand. Hey, how many of y'all, have you heard that? Has anybody ever said that to you? We need to divide. Yeah, in order to make the world happy, we need to divide Israel, divide Jerusalem, and try to figure out who does it belong to. Listen, if you want to know who it belongs to, go back to verse 21. Jesus went to where? To Jerusalem. God said that's his city. Deny yourself. He says, woe to those who try to divide my nation. And he says, don't miss this, church. He says, for those of us who believe this word, who don't confuse and conflate the things of God, he says, you bless Israel. I will bless you. Oh, man. God, you talk about incentive. You talk about, now I'm looking for Jewish people to talk to. You hear me? Because God said, I'll bless those who bless thee, when he was speaking of Israel. And he says, and I will curse those who curse thee. Well, are the Jews always right? No, I don't think so. Are they always God's people? Amen to that. And I let God sort out the rest of it.
You're going to have to make some decisions, church. Do you savor the things of God? Do you look at the things of God? Do you look at things with the mind of Christ? Is that more important than somebody hurting your feelings? I'm here to tell you, that one won't fly at the Bema seat. That one won't fly at the Bema seat. Yeah, but won't work. It's like, Lord, I'm going to pray for everybody in authority, and I'm going to understand that there's some stuff that I really don't like, but Lord, I'm going to trust you to fix it because you told me you'd take care of me. He promised. He promised, y'all. He says, I'll never, ever, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. He said, but I want you to be salt and light in this world. Salt. Luke 14, 34. Turn your Bibles to Luke 14, 34. Luke 14, 34. And it reads, Luke 14, 34. Salt is good. Y'all know the Bible says for us to be salt and light. Salt is good. But this is like a riddle, a conundrum. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Wait a minute. Think about this for a minute. You got some table salt. And you, it doesn't have any flavor to it anymore. So what are you going to do? Put on some more salt that got no flavor? He says, what are you going to season salt with when it's no longer salty? The Bible says it's good for nothing. How much use to God is a Christian who continues to serve the world on every level? What good is he to the kingdom of God? If we're commanded to be salt and light, and Christians say, well, I don't ever discuss religion or politics. The King James Bible has a word in there called conversation, your conversation. And in the King James English, your conversation is not just your spoken word, it's how you conduct yourself. If in our daily conversation we don't discuss the things that represent God, then what good are we? Good for nothing. Good for nothing. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. That's the ABCs, y'all. That's the ABCs of discipling. It says here, as we go down through this text, in verse 25, he says, for whosoever, he has already told Peter, Peter, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. And he's already said, you don't even concern yourself with the things of God. He said, you do not concern yourself with the things of God. You're more concerned with the things of men. That's a condemnation of the church today. That's a strong condemnation. When we're so concerned, so overly concerned with making people, you know, what good does it do me to go out and give 100 sandwiches out if somebody's going to hell and I don't tell them about Jesus? Will you help me with that one? Oh, we got a clothes closet. We got a clothes. So what? Are you giving anybody the gospel? Jesus didn't give anybody anything to eat until they sat down and listened to him preach. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Nobody, the 5,000, did not get fed when they just showed up. We need some food. So what? Everybody needs some food. You sit here and listen to the word, and I'll feed you. First, I'll give you what you need the most, which is spiritual food. And then I give you something that's going to take care of that temporary hunger. Sometimes it baffles me what we do in the modern day church. It just baffles me. Well, I'll just keep showing people how good I am, and I'll show them how good I am. Jesus showed them how good he was, and he still had to preach. You don't even come close. I don't even come close. He says, be a witness. Speak. Speak up, speak out, speak loud. Just as much as we deny Christ, as much as Peter denied Christ, we got to deny ourselves and speak up for the Lord in the marketplace. And I just happen to know there's some of y'all out there, and I'm gonna give a praise report. There's many folks in this congregation even. On your social media, God be pleased. God be pleased. Because it's scary out there, man. Folks call you everything but a child of God. I mean, you have the nerve to tell somebody that homosexuality is wrong and that those folks need to be prayed for and that those folks need to be given the word of God. I can't even say it over the pulpit what they say about you. And that's people in other churches. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about other churches, y'all. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I go into a room full of 10 pastors, there's going to be at least 8 there who think that boldly proclaiming to a homosexual person, God loves you, his son died for you, and he's saying, if you confess Jesus Christ and call on the name of the Lord, just like he took my raggedy life, he'll take you too. But for some reason, we get skittish. We get skittish. But if you love that person, we have to deny myself. I have to deny. I don't want to get my feelings hurt, y'all. Y'all may not believe this, but I'm actually very sensitive. I don't think they believe me, man. But I don't like getting my feelings hurt. I really don't. Who does? But I so desire for folks who don't know Jesus, if there's anything I can do to let them know that God had his son die for them too, even if it means I got to take their scorn, I have to get okay with that, y'all. And I'm okay with that. If I have to talk to people about abortion, and it's a hard subject, it's a hurtful subject, I have to learn how to do my best to speak it in love and let them know that it's that forgiveness is available. I have to, and you have to let them know forgiveness is available. But stand on the word of God, y'all. Stand, speak the truth in love, man. He says, verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus is saying to Peter, he said, this is how it works. When you decide to be your own savior, when you decide that my work is good enough, when you decide that you can handle this, you can drink this cup, Jesus says, you have already lost the battle. When you think that you can handle this, you have lost the battle. Instinctively, reflexively. And he said, but whosoever will lose his life, whosoever will set, and we're not talking about losing your salvation, we're talking about losing your testimony. He said, anybody who is going to lose his standing, he goes, lose following himself, he says, for his sake shall find it. Now understand, y'all, not everybody who gets persecuted is persecuted for righteousness. Some people get persecuted because they're bad. That's the truth. Not every cause out there is a righteous cause. That's why you and I have to discern. We have to be able to savor the things that are of God and deny the things that are of my flesh. He said, but that's if we're going to follow Jesus. And that's something I can't decide that for you. You have to decide that for you. Nobody can decide that for you. Just like nobody could walk this aisle for you. Nobody could stand up that on that day that you decided I'm going to follow. Nobody can be saved for you, and nobody can be sanctified for you. You have to make that decision. And it's really a change of mind, a change of heart. And when people aren't saved, the biggest problem is here. It's not here. Excuse me, it's in your heart. It's not in your head. They got plenty ample reasons to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, but they reject it. ABCs, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me.
take up your cross. The cross was a cruel instrument of execution. And understand, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. So he's explaining to his boys, this is what I'm getting ready to deal with, but I want y'all to know, when it comes to your own personal life, you and I, let me give you something practical. I want you to go home, and I want you to go to your DVD cabinet. And you can start with Blazing Saddles. I know you got it! I know you got it, or something like it. But you go into your DVD cabinet. My kids are my witness. My son's not here, but he's my witness. When the Lord brought me under conviction, because I played in rock and roll bands for 18 years of my life, I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. And one day, I pulled out my entire record collection, which was massive. It was massive. And, oh, Killjoy over there. I was going to sell it, because, you know, everybody wanted to sample it, because, I mean, it was massive. And I was going to make, I don't want to be a sinner no more, but I don't want to go broke either. I mean, come on, this is business, baby. You know, and I pulled out my massive record collection, and I sat there, and I saw things on the album jackets I had never seen before. I was saved, y'all. It was just like that movie. And I start reading titles on these records. My favorite Moonlight record. So good, it was so good. I'll be the other woman. You'll be the what? Where'd that come from? You bought it. So go to your DVD cabinet, your record collection, and I pulled out, what I did was I made a deal with God. I said, God, okay, if I can pull out an album and there's nothing offensive in the title, there's nothing offensive on the graphics, you know, the picture, because that's how they get you. Lust of the eye. I said, Lord, if there's nothing offensive in the titles, nothing offensive to you on the cover, I'm going to pitch it. Album after album. You might get 6 songs, 7 songs, just really good songs. And then you get to that one, oh, man, why do you have to say that? That one's got to go. That one's got to go. Y'all, I'm telling you, I had a huge record collection. And when it was done, I had 2. Andre Crouch. I don't know how that one got in there. Andre Crouch and one that I had bought for my daughters because since it wasn't mine because I bought it for my daughters. Now, what kind? I bought them a salt and pepper. Was that salt and pepper? Yeah, what kind of daddy would get his little girl? Come on, man. But I bought it, so I encouraged them that y'all might want to, you know, purge this thing. But because I bought it for them, but everything else had to go. My son took a sledgehammer to it, y'all. He destroyed it. He said he destroyed it because, what does the song say? I decided to follow Jesus, and I can't turn back. They sing it all the time. I won't go back. It's not that I don't want to go back. There's times when my foot get to going. There's times when my heart get to pounding. There's times when the music is so good, but it takes me back where I don't need to be. And I don't want to go back there anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Because why? It was an offense to God. Jesus says, they say in verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" If you get, look, y'all understand, that's what happened in the garden. That's what happened in the garden. Satan offered Adam and Eve the world. He said, when you eat this, man, you'll be like God. You eat this fruit, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil, right from wrong. You'll be like God. Man, what a temptation, what a deal. And they literally bit for it. And they lost their souls. They lost dominion over this world. But oh, the grace of God. Things got turned around out in the wilderness when Jesus was taken up out into the wilderness to be tempted
by Satan. And Jesus, and what does it say? Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And it reads, and said, this is Satan speaking to Jesus. Just like he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, he's speaking to Jesus. And saith unto him, all these things I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Church, Jesus says, I've been offered the world. He said, I was offered the world by Satan, and I turned my back on it. He's saying, follow me. Follow me. When this world, the enticements of this world is offered to you, follow me. Follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. The last thing, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, he spoke to him in verse 27, for the Son of Man, the long-term prophecy, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. And here's how this works out, y'all. Here's how this works out. I told you he had two short-term prophecies. The one where he said, I'm going to go and be killed. And then he has this short-term prophecy in verse 28 where he says that there will be some standing here talking to me. I believe what he's talking about is the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. And it reads that Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the apostles, and the Bible says that they were standing there, and they saw Jesus turn. They watched his clothes become whiter than any fuller soap could ever get it. And he shone like the Shekinah glory. And the Bible says he's standing there with two of the major luminaries of Judaism, Moses and Elijah. You couldn't get any bigger than Moses and Elijah. Moses was the lawgiver. People revered Moses. He was the lawgiver. Elijah was the prophet who God took up in a chariot, in a fiery chariot. You couldn't get any bigger than that. But the Bible tells you that only one person shone like the sun itself. And it says that was Jesus. In verse 7, in verse 9, it says, and then there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. Church, Moses was good, but Moses is dead. Elijah was great, but Elijah is gone. He got taken up in a fiery chariot. When the smoke cleared, when the cloud went away, there was one man standing. His name was Jesus Christ. Amen. One man. And God said to him, he's saying to the Jewish body, he's saying to the Gentile body, he said, this man is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Amen. Last thing I give you, I told you we got to have a happy ending here. I gave you my book, told you. Hold up my books again, my props. Happy ending. Long-term prophecy. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man. Stuff, y'all. That's good stuff for those who decide to follow Jesus. He said, then he shall reward every man according to his works. Church, happy day is coming. Happy day is coming. But the Bible says, until we get there, you got to make the decision on if you're going to follow Jesus. You're going to follow Jesus, here's the ABCs. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Take up that sin issue and deal with that sin issue in your life. Deal with it. Don't run away from it. Deal with it. Take those records. Take those DVDs. And don't try to sell them. Don't go down and try to trade them in for some Christian music. Because if they're no good for you to listen to, they're no good for anybody to listen to. Destroy them, y'all. Because they don't have any place with the things of God. Happy ending. He's going to give everybody their reward according to their works. But it's only the works that you do after you're saved. So before you can follow him, before you can deny yourself, before you can die to yourself, before you can take up your cross, you might got to make a decision. Is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? Who do you say he is? I know who your mama say he is. You can't get saved by mama. I know who your grandpa said he is. You can't get saved by grandpa. Who do you say he is? The Bible says you make a decision. You make a choice. And then once you make that choice to be saved, he goes, then I start sanctifying you. Then I clean you up. Until that takes place, you're just a dressed up heathen on your way to hell. But Jesus loved you. And he says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That, my brothers and sisters, is the ABCs of following Jesus. God bless you.